You're listening to Seek Christian Internet Radio Outreach, WSCIRO, Boston, Massachusetts, USA.
To the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night. Thank you.
Oh. Hello, everyone. Good evening. This is Dr. Shirley Kinn. If you're probably wondering why I have this headdress on, it's because it's Passover. And we are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper in a way that we feel he celebrated it during his last night here on the earth, okay? And we're just coming out of Good Friday and into Holy Saturday, but we're still in the season of Pesach, Passover. So, Hatzamer, everyone. Okay, we are going to, I picked up this wonderful Passover, Haggadah. Haggadah. It's a 30-minute Seder, but it's so rich. And the way that they wrote it, you order it on 30minuteseder.com, Seder, S-E-D-E-R.com, is they wrote it for children, okay? And, you know, the Lord calls us to be not childish, but childlike in our faith and things like that. So what we're going to do, what's required for this Seder, okay, is, if you want to go along with us, we have to be kosher, conquered grape, okay, and we have a candle we're going to be lighting when we recite. I'm just kind of like letting you know step by step what we're going to do. And my husband and I prepared this wonderful, I don't know if you can see this. Oh yeah, there we go. I don't want to like have it all fall on the computer, but it's wonderful Passover meal, okay? You got the shank bone, the lamb, and you got the egg. I'm trying to get into the middle here, okay? And you got the haaretz, or the bitter herb. I mean, not the bitter herb, the mortar. And you got the parsley, the bitter herb. You got the carpus. And you got the horseradish, okay? So we have all these wonderful things to pass over. And actually, you get the potato lackeys over there. And we have the matzos, of course. And we have the Lord's Dinner. What we're going to do is we're going to take the Old Covenant way of having Seder. And then we're going to, because we come from the Roman Catholic tradition, where every time they celebrate liturgy, it's always centered around the Passover meal. And what I found, I really feel so dear to the heart of the Lord, is that we got to get this Passover thing right, because I came across four questions that are required of us. Four questions that this has been handed down through the generations from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant, and Jesus asked his disciples about these four questions, and we'll do it in sequence. But I just wanted and we put it on the blog, the Holy Health Retreat blog, and in this we see that there are four questions. As you pour the second cup of wine, why is this night different from all other nights? Okay, so keep that in mind. We're going to start from the beginning afterwards. And in what ways do you find this night different? In four ways do I find this night different? Okay, so we're going to go to the four nights. The four ways. On all other nights, we may eat hametz, and I'll explain what these all are, and matzah, but on this night, only matzah. On all other nights, we eat many vegetables, but on this night, only marrow. On all nights we don't dip even once, but on this night we dip twice. On all other nights we eat either sitting up or reclining, but on this night we will all recline. And so these four questions that are going to be fairly consistent throughout this whole Seder, it's for the simple reason that they have four statements that clarify the main question of the Seder. Why is this night different from all other nights? Okay? And it's a way for the Lord to begin to work with these people on how to examine your conscience, okay? And to understand why we do what we do, or why he has, you know, us doing what he wants us to do. So this night is different from all other nights, because on this night we tell the story of Passover as inscribed in the book of Exodus in the Old Testament or the Pentateuch. This night is also different because we participate in rituals. Okay, and some people say, well, that's a religious spirit, but, you know, Jesus came out of the tradition of, of this wonderful way of acknowledging and remembering the bond, you know, the freeing up of the bondage of slavery in Egypt, okay? So it says, this night is also different because we participate in rituals that have been observed at Passover Seder for centuries by our Jewish ancestors. We remind ourselves every year at this time that we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and God took us out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. If God had not liberated our ancestors from Egyptian slavery, then we and our children and our children's children might still be slaves in the land of Egypt, okay? And the blood of Jesus would have been of no effect. Even if we know the story well and have told it many times, it is essential to be reminded of the details so we don't forget. By recognizing the oppression of our enslaved ancestors, we gain a greater appreciation of the freedom we enjoy today. As we participate in the rituals of the Seder, we should not only make sure the story of Passover is told and the significance of each component of the Seder is explained, but we should also engage the children in the proceedings, because, you know, when in the New Testament, when the disciples, brought the children, you know, up to Jesus, and they were kind of concerned, should we have children around us, and what should we do with these children? And I'm sure that they were pretty obnoxious and unruly. And Jesus said, suffer the little children, you know, let them come into me, for, you know, you cannot come into the kingdom unless you come as a little child.
The time is 10 o'clock a.m.
And we're doing this 2 o'clock a.m., of course, so we Eastern Standard Time. Okay. So we have to learn from these children. It's so funny, they break it down to four kinds of children that, you know, that have come throughout the generation. So they broke it down to four temperament of children. Okay. So, and the reason why children are welcome, because, you know, that's the next generation. You want children to carry on the mantle from one generation to the next. So as we participate in the rituals of the Seder, we should not only make sure the story of Passover is told and the significance of each component of the Seder is explained, but we should always engage the children in proceedings. The children are encouraged to ask questions regarding the rituals of the evening. If they don't, the elders take on the role of teacher and have to explain, using language appropriate to each child's ability to understand and also the temperament. So, four kinds of children that we need to understand around us, and who, you know, who the Lord says are special, right? The wise, the wicked, the simple, and the too young to ask children. Most of us have shown qualities of the four children. See, we all have little children in us, in our lives at one time or another, because we all learn in different ways and at our own pace. When sharing the meaning of Passover with children or any rudiment of faith, okay, it's important to approach them in a way that best suits their ever-evolving personalities and ability to learn. And I really believe that that is why so many people, even adults, they interpret the scriptures based on their own understanding. You have some people that say, well, you know, we don't need knowledge, all we need is the Word of God and faith. Well, you know, it says in Titus we have to study and show ourselves approved, okay? So keep that in mind. So the wise child or studious child likes to study and analyze the details, Give this child the tools to discover the meaning of Passover on their own and explain to them why it's important to retell the story of Exodus each year. The wicked child, the wicked or rebellious child, probably wants little to do with Passover and exclude themselves from getting involved. A typical response can be, what this got to do with me? Explain that Passover is a celebration of the freedom we all enjoy. Since this child especially lacks empathy, ask questions that get them involved, like, how would it feel if you were a slave and freed by God? Okay? The simple child. For a simple child who is easily overwhelmed, give a simple explanation. Don't confuse them with details. Instead, tell them the facts of the story and explain the general meaning of Passover in terms they can understand. The child too young to ask. Maybe they're too young to form a question or are unable to ask one because they simply don't understand. Perhaps a child of God may be an adult that lacks the capacity to speak or lives with some other disability. Treat them with love, understanding, and patience, and explain the meaning of Passover in terms that they can relate to. Try telling stories or singing songs and make it a festive time. And I think that's true for all of us, even us older children, right? Okay, my husband's over there. He prefers to be in the background because it's really late, you know, and he's a little droopy-eyed, but he's so full of patience. He said he's going to read the book of Exodus from the birth of Moses to the time that we get set free from the bondage of Pharaoh. Okay, so Jeff, why don't you pick up the Exodus and read, and we'll kind of go back and forth, and then we're going to go through parts of the Seder and the prayers. And you know, hopefully it won't be too long, but we want to just be able to convey understanding and also relate how, like I said earlier, how the Seder, you know, the Passover Seder reflects certain parts of the liturgy in the church, not only in the Catholic Church, but I think the Methodist Church has similar liturgy style, and the Orthodox, and I mean, it's all in the scriptures. It's all biblical. So, Jeff, why don't you read from Exodus? We're going to start with Moses birth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered, and the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you."
And so the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Moses flees to Midian. One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian and a Hebrew, one of his own people. Glancing this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" The man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. Now a priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came to draw water and fill the troughs to water their father's flock. Some shepherds came along and drove them away, and Moses got up and came to their rescue and watered their flock. When the girls returned to Reuel, their father, he asked, "Why have you returned so early today?" They answered, "An Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. He even drew water for us and watered the flock." "And where is he?" asked his daughters. "Why did you leave him? Invite him to have something to eat." Moses agreed to stay with the man who gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses in marriage. Zipporah gave birth to a son, and Moses named him Gershom, saying, "I have become an alien in a foreign land." During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them.
Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So he thought, "I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up." When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing womb of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: I am has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. I have promised to bring you out of your misery in Egypt, into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey.'"
Okay. "The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, 'The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So for I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go, and I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed toward his people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters, and so you will plunder the Egyptians. Signs for Moses, chapter 4. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Then the Lord said to him, What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Then the Lord said, "Put your hand inside your cloak." So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous like snow. "Now put it back into your cloak," he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, "If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground." Moses said to the Lord, "Lord, I have never been so eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech in tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? How now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "Oh Lord, please send me someone else. Please send someone else to do it." Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform miraculous signs with it." Moses returns to Egypt. Then Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, "Let me go back to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are still alive." Jethro said, "Go, and I wish you well." Now the Lord had said to Moses in Midian, "Go back to Egypt, for all the men who wanted to kill you are dead." So Moses took his wife and son, put them on a donkey, and started back to Egypt, and took the staff of God in his hand. The Lord said to Moses, "When you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do. But I will harden his heart, so that he will not let the people go. Then say to Pharaoh, 'This is what the Lord says: Israel is my firstborn son, and I told you, let my son go, so he may worship me. But you refuse to let him go, so I will kill your firstborn son.'" At a lodging place on the way, the Lord met Moses and was about to kill him. But Zipporah took a flint knife, cut off her son's foreskin, and touched Moses' feet with it. "Surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me," she said. So the Lord let him alone. And at that time, she said, "Bridegroom of blood," referring to circumcision. The Lord said to Aaron, "Go into the desert to meet Moses." So he met Moses at the mountain of God and kissed him. Then Moses told Aaron everything the Lord had sent him to say, and also about all the miraculous signs he had commanded him to perform. Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people, and they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshipped chapter 5. Fruits without straws, chapter 5.
Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go, so that they may hold a festival to me in the desert." Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord, that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plague or with the sword." But the king of Egypt said, "Moses and Aaron, why are you asking the people, taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work." And the Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working." The same day Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and foremen in charge of the people, "You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bread. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That is why they're crying out, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God.' Make the work harder for the men, so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies." Then the slave drivers and the foreman went out and said to the people, "This is what Pharaoh says, 'I will not give you any more straw. Go and get your own straw wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced at all.' So the people gathered all over Egypt to gather stubble to use for straw. The slave drivers kept pressing them, saying, 'Complete the work required of you each day, just as when you had straw.' The Israelite women appointed the Pharaoh's slave drivers were beaten and were asked, 'Why didn't you meet your quota of bricks yesterday or today?' as before. And the Israelite foreman went and appealed to Pharaoh, 'Why have you treated your servants this way? Your servants are given no straw, yet we are told, "Make bricks." Your servants are being beaten, but the fault is with your own people." Pharaoh said, "Lazy, that's what you are, lazy. That is why you keep saying, 'Let us go sacrifice to the Lord.' Now get to work. You will not be given straw, yet you must produce your full quota of bricks." The Israelite women realized they were in trouble when they were told, "You are not to reduce the number of bricks required for you each day." Then when they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. And they said, "May the Lord look upon you and judge you. You have made us a stench to Pharaoh and his officials and have put a sword in their hand to kill us."
Okay. We're sharing the Bible. Thank you. Right here? God promises deliverance. Moses returned to the Lord and said, "O Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon his people. You have not rescued your people at all." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of this country." Out of his country. God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with an uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and cruel bondage. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of his country, But Moses said to the Lord, if the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me since I speak with faltering lips? Family record of Moses and Aaron. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron about the Israelites and Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he commanded them to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. These are the heads of their families. The sons of Reuben, the firstborn son of Israel, were Hanok and Pallu, Hezron and Carmi. These were the clans of Reuben. The sons of Simeon were Jamiel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zohar, and Shaul, son of a Canaanite woman. These were the clans of Simeon. These are the names of the sons of Levi, according to their records: Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Levi lived 137 years. The sons of Gershon by clans were Libni and Shammai. The sons of Kohath were Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. Kohath lived 133 years. The sons of Merari were Mali and Mushi. These were the clans of Levi according to their records. Amram married his father's sister Jochebed, who bore him Aaron and Moses. Aaron lived 137 years. The sons of Israel were Korah, Nephek, and Zichri. The sons of Uzziel were Mishael, Elzaphan, and Zithri. Aaron married Elisheba, daughter of Aminadab, and sister of Nashon, and she bore him Nadab and Abihu, of Eleazar and Ithamar. The sons of Korah were Asher, Elkanah, and Abiasaph. These were the Korahite clans. Eleazar, son of Aaron, married one of the daughters of Putiel, and she bore him Phinehas. These were the heads of the Levite families, clan by clan. It was this same Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, bring the Israelites out of Egypt by their divisions. They were the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, about bringing the Israelites out of Egypt. It was the same Moses and Aaron. Aaron to speak for Moses. Now when the Lord spoke to Moses in Egypt, he said to him, I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I tell you. But Moses said to the Lord, since I speak with faltering lips, why would Pharaoh listen to me? Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiplied my miraculous signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, and with mighty acts of judgment, I will bring out my division. My people, the Israelites and the Egyptians, shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. Aaron's staff becomes a snake.
The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh says to you, perform a miracle, then say to Aaron, take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron threw his staff on the ground in front of the Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned the wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians also did the same thing by their secret eyes. Each one threw down his staff and became a snake, but Aaron's staff swallowed up their staff. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said.
We're back. The plague of blood. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is unyielding. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he goes out to the water. Wait on the bank of the Nile to meet him and take in your hand the staff that was changed into a snake. Then say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to you. Let my people go so that they may worship me in the desert. But until now you have not listened. This is what the Lord says. By this you will know that I am the Lord. With the staff that is in my hand, I will strike the water of the Nile, and it will be changed into blood. The fish in the Nile will die, and the river will stink. The Egyptians will not be able to drink its water. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over the streams and canals, over the ponds and all the reservoirs, and they will turn to blood. Blood will be everywhere in Egypt, even in the wooden buckets and stone jars. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord had commanded. He raised the staff in the presence of Pharaoh and his officials and struck the water of the Nile. And all that water was changed into blood. The fish in the Nile died, and the river smelled so bad that the Egyptians could not drink its water. Blood was everywhere in Egypt. But the Egyptian magicians did the same thing by their secret art, and Pharaoh's heart became hard. He would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. Instead, he turned and went into his palace, and he did not take even this to heart. And all the Egyptians dug along the Nile to get drinking water, because they could not drink the water of the river. Jeff, the plague of the frog.
7 days passed since the Lord struck the Nile. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, 'This is what the Lord says: Let my people go, that they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will plague your whole country with frogs. The Nile will teem with frogs. They will come up into your palace and your bedroom, and onto your bed, and into houses of your officials, and on your people, and into the ovens and kneading troughs. The frogs will go up on you and your people and all your officials.'" Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the streams and canals and ponds, and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt." So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land. But the magicians did the same thing by their secret art. They also knew.
So next we're alright, so we now read we're at the plague now, so you just hold on to that, Jeff, and I'm going to go read from the Haggadah, okay, and which is a little more, it's a little, it's a variation of that, but it's a little shorter. Okay, so Moses returned to Egypt and went to see the Pharaoh with his brother Aaron as his spokesperson. "Let my people go," Moses demanded, but Pharaoh had a hard and hard refuse. Through Moses, God brought forth 10 plagues on the people of Egypt. The plagues at first amused the Pharaoh, but soon frightened him. The Pharaoh promised to free the slaves several times, but God hardened the Pharaoh's heart many times, and each time he agreed to free the Israelite slaves, Pharaoh went back on his word. After the 9th plague, God said to Moses, "I will bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Toward midnight I will go forth among the Egyptians, and every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on the throne to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the millstone, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And there will be a loud cry in all the land of Egypt, such as never been or ever will be again." God then instructed Moses to tell his people to take a lamb from among their flocks and sacrifice it at twilight. And this is very significant because Jesus became the Lamb of God. Taking some of the blood to paint a mark on the 2 doorposts and lintel of their home. Moses was further instructed by God to have his people roast the lamb over a fire and eat it with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs that same night. At midnight, God brought forth the 10th and most devastating plague, the killing of the firstborn. In every Egyptian household, the firstborn child suddenly took ill and died. But the plague passed over the homes of the Israelite slaves. It was then that the Pharaoh finally agreed to free the Israelites. While we celebrate the freeing of the Israelites from slavery, God has instructed us to take no pleasure in the suffering of the Egyptians or the suffering of anyone. To commemorate the suffering, each person dips their little finger in their wine and places a drop on their plate as we recite the 10 plagues that God brought down the Egyptians. And we're going to go into the ritual part. The Seder, the actual blessing of the meal. But I wanted to finish this because, the Lord, he sends flies, He sends gnats and he sends flies. He sends the plague on the livestock, the plague of boils, the plague of hail, the plague of locusts, the plague of darkness, and the plague on the firstborn. So now we come to Passover, okay? Passover. Alright. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and top of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lamb. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it: with your hoe tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both male and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on your houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate for the generation to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. For 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, remove the yeast from your houses, or whoever eats anything with yeast in it from the first day through the seventh must be cut off from Israel. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly and another one on the seventh day. Do no work at all on these days except to prepare food for everyone to eat. That is all you may do. Celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because it was on this very day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations that come. In the first month, you are to eat bread made without yeast. From the evening of the 14th day until the evening of the 21st day, for 7 days, no yeast is to be found in your houses. And whoever eats anything with yeast in it must be cut off from the community of Israel, whether he is an alien or native. Eat nothing made with yeast. Wherever you live, you must eat unleavened bread. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on the side of the door frame. Not one of you shall go out the door of his house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, 'What does this ceremony mean to you?' then tell them, 'It is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians.' Then the people bowed down and worshiped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron to do. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead."
During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron, said, "Up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go, worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds as you have said, and go. Also bless me. The Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the country, for otherwise they said, we will all die. So the people took their dough for the yeast of them, and carried it on their shoulders in the kneading cup, wrapped in clothing. The Israelites did as Moses instructed, and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold, and for clothing. The Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people, and they gave them what they asked for, so they plundered the Egyptians. The Israelites journeyed from Ramses to Succoth. There were about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. Many other people went up with them, as well as large droves of livestock, both flocks and herds. With the dough they had brought from Egypt, they baked cakes of unleavened bread. The dough was without yeast because it had been driven out of Egypt, and they did not have time to prepare food for themselves. Now that the length of time the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of the 430 years, to the very day, all the Lord's division left Egypt, because the Lord kept it vigil that night to bring them out of Egypt on this night. All the Israelites are kept to keep vigil to honor the Lord for the generations to come.
Okay. Now, we talked about the lamb. Now, I want you, we're going to go to the New Testament. I know everybody's wondering, when are we going to get to this Seder, Dr. Shirley? Well, this is all part of it. This is this is the crescendo, and then we're gonna go and break down the and actually show and tell through show and tell. We'll have the symbols of Passover, and we have a wonderful explanation here in this particular Passover Seder booklet. Okay, the Haggadah, and it's gonna be very interesting. As I was reading, I was actually getting very blessed because the Lord was showing me different. He was showing me revelation and bringing me back to where Jesus was. Like I said earlier, where he was spiritually, what he was teaching, how he was teaching it. I even saw him reclining, I understood, God regarding. Holy Communion and what is really intended. And again, what keeps coming to me is those, we need to understand these four questions. When we, in preparation of the marriage feast of the Lamb, all of this is in preparation for the marriage feast of the Lamb, which is in the book of Revelation. We also look at that a little bit. To the marriage feast of the Lamb. The Lord's Supper. Yes, this is it. The Lord's Supper, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. We're going to now transition over from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and we're going to try to understand, we're going to hopefully gain understanding through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the Ruach HaKodesh, the significance of the Lamb of God as it pertains to Jesus, who Jesus became the Passover Lamb. And you'll often, whoever comes into this broadcast, if you're thinking about being a Christian or you're Jewish, you don't quite understand how a man can become a lamb. Well, it's all been prophesied. Jesus is Yeshua HaMashiach, the Passover Lamb, and just like the hyssop was given to the lamb, it was also given to Jesus while he was on the cross. It's amazing, the parallels, the prophetic parallels. Okay, if everybody can flip open to your Bible in Matthew 20, I believe it's 26, verse 17. Let me just check that out to make sure I'm right. Okay, yes, Matthew 26, all right. Judas agrees to betray Jesus. Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and asked, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" They counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. The Lord's Supper. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining. He was reclining. Is that word recline again? And that was one of the, I think, the last four things that we required, that we recline. Again, let me go back to the four questions. Why is this night different from all other nights? In what ways do you find this night different? And four ways do I find this night different? All right, so four ways. On all other nights, we may eat hamat and matzah. We'll go and talk about that, what those mean. And we'll also share with you what they look like. But on this night, only matzah. In all other nights, we eat many vegetables, but on this night, only maror. On all other nights, we don't dip even once, but on this night, we dip twice. And then the last thing, on all other nights, we eat either sitting up or reclining, but on this night, we all recline. Okay, and that's what Jesus is doing. He was reclining. So if you can picture that, Jesus reclining. Okay. All right. Where was that? So where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover? He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him, one after the other, "Surely not I, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "Yes, it is you." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Okay, so he had transitioned the matzah, you know, that we will break, and he said that this is his body, that's his body. Okay. He becomes bread of life for the world. Alright. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Okay. Yes. So that was the Passover there. And I want to go to the book of Revelations for the marriage feast of the Lamb, which is the Passover in heaven. Isn't that something? When we all get caught up, the Passover in heaven. Okay. Yes, I think I'm going to have you read about the marriage feast of the Lamb. Okay. He spoke to them again in parable, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servant to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I prepared my dinner, my oxen and fat and cattle, have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized the servant, mistreated, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the street and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendant, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. So there's going to be a wedding feast. At the end of the age, and you know, we have to be made pure by the washing of our garments. You know, again, marriage feast of the Lamb, and we got to be made ready by washing our garments clean in the blood of the Lamb, in the blood of Jesus, the true Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. All right. So Jeff, honey, we are going to, here's your book right here,
mm-hmm.
and here's my little booklet, and we are going to begin the state of festivities. And what I want to say is that we had to prepare the food, that we had to pray for some things, and I put it on the blog. All right, so what we did was the preparation for the Seder was that there was a hametz removal, and what that is sin. It's likened to sin, you know, in the Holy Ghost. What when you know you're Jewish and you haven't received Jesus, they actually literally go and remove all leavened bread, everything that's leavened, okay, that rises. So it says before the sun sets and we sit down for our Seder, it is customary, as well as commanded by the Torah, to remove all hametz, C-H-A-M-E-T-Z, from the home. Hametz is any food that has been leavened, especially the 5 grains of wheat, barley, spelt, rye, and oats. Matzah is unleavened bread. One tradition carried over from Eastern Europe has a member of the household hide 10 pieces of bread around the house, followed by an after-dark search on the night before Passover. The head of the household, by flashlight and candlelight, searches each room for a hidden hametz. Once the bread is found, a feather is used to sweep any stray crumbs into a wooden spoon, which is then all burnt together. This removal of hametz is preceded by the following prayer. All right, so as you remove the hametz from the house, okay, and it was so funny, a couple of years ago, my pastor, who is a friend of, he's a priest, a Catholic priest, he, you know, is very, you know, friendly with the Jewish community, praise God, and one day the rabbi calls, our pastor and asks, is there anyone, you know, they consider Gentile, they consider Christians Gentile, to receive all the leavened bread, you know, it's coming from his congregation or some kind of trade, and somehow they actually took all that, everything that was leavened, and they hid it. But somehow I was the holder of it all through symbol, and so I received it and I got a Gentile blessing because I was helping out, you know, my brother who was Jewish too. Honored Passover Seder, honor the Seder, begin the process of blessing here, and so and then at the end I had to give him back what he gave me. I thought it was really great, and so I understand now what they were doing as I was reading this passage. So it says the removal of the hametz is preceded by the following prayer: Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, Creator of the universe, who makes us holy with your mitzvah. and who commanded us concerning the removal of the hametz. To symbolize the search and removal of the hametz at the Seder, each person should look under their plate and remove or pretend to remove any traces of hametz. So that's what we do. If you had a plate, you just look and you're like, all right, the hametz is moved. Okay. Jeff, do you want to, you don't want to hold that? Do you feel like holding it? Oh, okay. He's really tired. He had a long day of work, but this is what many, you know, people go through, you know. A lot of professional people out there doing their thing, and when Pesach happens, everything comes to a standstill, okay? And even if you're tired. Anyway, immediately following the search, the following prayer said, any hametz which is in my possession that I did not see, which I did or did not remove, shall be nullified and be ownerless as the dust of the earth. Isn't that something? Now, that's what happens when we repent of our sin, okay? Any sin that we are aware of or not aware of, and this is what they say in confession, you know, it's removed, you know, they, you know, even during the penitential rite.
The time is 3:00 a.m.
Even though through the penitential rite at the beginning of liturgy, Catholic liturgy, they go through the removal of sin and the forgiveness, asking forgiveness to God and on behalf of the people, and the priest petitions the Lord to remove the sin, and known or unknown, and I think that's awesome. And I know it's and when I read this, it's like it comes right from the Passover Seder. The whole liturgy of Catholic liturgy is or the Methodist, or the Anglican, or the Orthodox liturgy. It's all centered around the Passover Seder. Okay. The holiday Sabbath candle lighting. All right. So at every Passover Seder, each table should have a festival or Sabbath candle to be lit for Passover. And if Passover falls on Friday, you would add the following words. Blessed are you, Adonai, O God, creator of the universe, who makes us holy with your mitzvot, who commanded us to light Sabbath and festival candles, okay? All right, so, blessed are you, Adonai, O God, creator of the universe, who gave us life, sustained us, and enabled us to reach this season of joy. Okay, so now we are at the opening prayer of the Seder, and the opening prayer, Jeff.
People are enslaved throughout the world, come to know freedom. May all who are free appreciate the blessings of abundance, and may all of us dwell in the house of God and give thanks for our good fortune as we celebrate these rituals of Passover.
Okay, so Jeff, why don't you take the matzah so we can just talk about what the matzah is. This one, the one that, okay, so you see the matzah here, okay? You know, it's the stripes. It's all stripes, and you know, many Messianic Jewish believers believe that the stripes represent the stripes that Jesus received, the lashes that he received on his back for our sins. Okay, so it's by his stripes we are healed. All right, so there are actually three whole matzah placed on one on top of the other, separated and covered by a cloth or a napkin. Many matzah covers are available for purchase in some homes. All right, so, you know, Jewish tradition has it that the children make these covers. Okay, our cover just happens to look like this. So we have one that's covered and we have one that's not. Okay, and so just three of them. Okay. Anyways, since you... So we'll be eating it several times in a normal Seder. Since you'll be eating matzah many times throughout the Seder, make sure that there's enough for everyone to have an adequate portion. So that's what will help. You know, that's what we have to have. We have to have the matzah. Now, Jeff is going to pass me the Mara Hatzaret, and we're going to talk more about that, because you've heard me throughout the whole Seder explanation and reading of the different parts of Scripture. Jeff, I just want to use the past. Where is the... Is it right here? Okay. All right. I gotcha. All right. So, this is it's, you can see it's like iceberg lettuce. It's Mara and Hatzaret, which is spelled M-A-R-O-R and C-H-A-Z-E-R-T. These are the bitter herbs symbolizing the bitter life the Jews led while they were slaves in Egypt, which are eaten twice during this celebration, during the Seder, once by themselves and another time with matzah. You can, we can use several different vegetables that qualifies Mara, two of which are put on the Seder plate in the spaces marked Mara and Hesaret. Red or white horseradish is often used for Mara or main lettuce for hot threat. So this is the Mara. And this, Jeff has already blessed this through the opening prayer. Okay, so let's put this down. All right. Okay, now we have the Haraset. Haraset? Is that how you say it? They're all C-H is Ha, and it's Haraset. Haraset should be made to look like mortar. And this is the way that it looks. See? It's like mortar. All right? And because it is symbolic of the bricks and mortar, the slaves used in making the Egyptian buildings. One tradition recipe calls for a mixture of grated apples. So this mixture is a mixture of grated apples, nuts, and cinnamon mixed with a little grape juice or red wine. Okay, and so that's that. And then we have the shankbone. And yes, I'm a vegetarian, but we got some lamb. My husband's eating the lamb. My son is gonna chow down that lamb. But this is the shankbone. All right, this is Zeroa, Z-E-R-O-A. Okay, and I'll put those up on the blog so you can get an idea of what they're called. I think I even have them up there right now. It says a roasted bone, often a leg shank or chicken bone, is placed on the Seder plate. The bone serves as a symbol of God's mighty arm that convinced the Egyptians to free the slaves. It also represents a paschal lamb that was used as a special sacrifice in the days of the ancient temple in Jerusalem. And you know that Jesus is the paschal lamb, okay? And he also is a temple that was destroyed. In the 3 days, he rebuilt the temple by resurrection from the dead. Okay, so now, let me have the egg. The egg, okay? Baitza. B-E-I-T-Z-A-H. A hard-boiled or roasted egg represents the second sacrifice that was offered on the eve of Passover at the temple. The egg is quite popular as it serves as a symbol of mourning and is used as a reminder of our sadness caused by the destruction of the Holy Temple. The round shape also reminds us of the circle of life. Okay, Jeff, I want you to tell everybody about, you know, the compass. The compass in here? Parsley? The compass, okay. What about the compass, Jeff?
Compass is a vegetable other than the bitter herbs and is placed on the Seder plate. Since Passover was also an agricultural festival celebrated by our ancestors, compass represents the arrival of spring. It will be dipped in salt water and eaten. In some traditions, a potato, onion, or other vegetable is used and is considered the appetizer. It is also dipped in salt water and eaten.
Okay, and this is the salt water of the Seder. So I'm going to eat this just to. What about you, Joe? You know something? I ate my hair. Okay. Tastes better. Parsley tastes better. Salted, doesn't it? All right. Well, the salt water, this represents the sweat and tears of our ancestors in bondage. While it is not actually part of the Seder plate, here it is. Right here. Okay. A small bowl of salt water should be placed conveniently here nearby where many people are present. Several bowls should be placed around the table for the dipping of the carpet, like we just did. All right. Wine. Okay, we have 4 cups of wine. I'm going to pass one to. I'm going to pass some to Jeff. Okay. Jeff. This is a. They're not. I'm going to fill them up. Okay. Fill them to the rim. All right. So we have, because Jeff is like, we have more than four cups, but we have extras because Jeff is, we're having a wife, so we can share the same cup. Anyways, 4 cups of wine are consumed during the Seder. Great. Juice may be substituted for some or all the wine. Why four? Okay. There's this reason. They serve as a reminder of the 4 references to redemption that are mentioned in the book of Exodus that we just read. Here they are. I will bring you out of the land of Egypt. The Lord will deliver us from bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. And I will take you to be my people. It is traditional that each person's cup be filled by the person sit next to them to symbolize the majesty of the evening, as well. Each person had a servant, at least for the night. During the Seder proceedings, whenever wine is consumed, it's customary to drink the entire cup. Okay, so so now we're gonna do a blessing over the wine. Okay, and I'll start. I like to read the Hebrew, but I love Hebrew. Okay, I love the way it sounds, and then Jeff can read the English part. Okay. All right, I'm going to offer the wine. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pari hagafen. Jeff?
Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, creator of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, creator of the universe, who has chosen us from all nations, raised us above all tongues, and made us holy with your mitzvah. And you, Adonai our God, have lovingly given us Sabbaths for rest and festivals for rejoicing, holidays and seasons for gladness. This Sabbath day and this festival of Matzah, the season of our freedom, a holy gathering in remembrance of the Exodus from Egypt. For you have chosen and made us holy above all people, in your holy Sabbath and festivals, in joy and gladness, you granted us as a heritage. Blessed are you, Adonai, who make holy the Shabbat in Israel and the festive season. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, creator of the universe, who has kept us alive, sustained us, and brought us to this season.
Amen. So here's the cup. You're going to drink the cup. And I'm going to drink my cup. Okay, now we're going to wash the hands. So now everyone washes their hands at the sink or at the table by pouring water into their hands in a basin if you like. The leader can wash his or her hands on behalf of everyone as a symbolic act of preparation for the Seder and the Passover feast. Since there is no meal served at this time, there is no prayer recited. So, there's a bowl here. And we got a wonderful bowl, a golden bowl. See, just for the Passover. Jeffrey, you want to wash my hand? This is what the priest does before they consecrate the Eucharist. They wash the hands. I was trying to figure out where they got this from. They got it again from the Passover Seder. It's amazing how the Catholic faith and the Orthodox and the Methodists and whoever does communion and Anglican is so closely related to the Passover. Okay, so check it out.
Okay.
Oh, right over? Okay. You didn't bring the towel. The towel's behind me. And of course, Jesus, during the Last Supper, he washed the feet of the disciples. Okay, so I was wondering why they did feet and not hands. And I think that feet, you have any thoughts on that, Chuck? Why they, he did feet and not hands, if the tradition was hands, or maybe it was feet and they just changed it to hands. Right. So, we're going back to our guide now. All right, so the dipping of vegetables, the appetizer, the carpet. Everyone takes a vegetable other than Mara. Usually parsley, potato, onion, or whatever is used for carpets on the potato plate, and dips it in the salt water. The following lesson is decided before the vegetable is eaten. So you take one of these, Jeff, again. I was just doing a practice run. Okay. All right. Here we go. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Pari Adama. All right, the English, Jeff.
Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, creator of the universe, who creates the fruit of the earth.
Okay. And, okay, then we dip it in the... It looks like mint. Really good. It's a blood purifier, isn't it? Possibly it's a blood purifier. It's very strong, but it's good with salt. Okay. Mmm. Now we're going to break the matzah. You want to get the matzah ready. Okay, so the leader uncovers the matzah and breaks the middle, like Yeshua did, like Jesus did. Breaks the middle, breaks it in two. Okay. All right. Breaks it in two. Okay. Places a smaller pot back between the hole and wraps up the larger pot in a cloth or napkin. All right, so for later use. All right, so the larger one goes in the napkin for later use. Wrap it up, Jeff. Mm-hmm. And wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
In haste, did we go out of Egypt?
So at this point, the children that are around, and all of our children are grown, will have our feet come in, which we just gave symbolically for the leader, the head of the household, to find later. An ultimate version of this tradition is to have someone hide the African men for the children to find later on after the meal. Okay, so the story of Passover, the Magid. The broken matzah is lifted for all to see as the leader recites. You want to recite, Jeff?
This matzah is a symbol of affliction and poverty. The story of Passover tells us about the hardships and sufferings that our ancestors endured. It reminds us of those who are in need today, so we say, whoever is hungry, come and share our food and celebrate Passover. To those who are poor or oppressed, we pray for them and hope that the coming year will bring a better life for all.
We're still eating the carpet. It's really bitter. This is very prophetic. It was so bitter being in slavery. Prophetically, there's a lot of people that are bitter now, living the slavery of sin. And the Lord just wants to set you free of all that. And just, you know, give all the bitterness to Him. He can take it. He can take the yoke of bitterness and oppression. Ooh. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so anyways, all right, so now we pour the second cup of wine. And Jeff, why don't you ask these questions? Oh, I'm going to ask in Hebrew, and then you ask in English. Ma nishana halilaya hazad mikol halilowet.
Why is this night different from all other nights? In what ways do you find this night different? In four ways do I find this night different.
She kol halilowet anu oklin hadnat meyat Umatza Haleya Haza Kulo Matza.
On all other nights we may eat a mat and matza, but on this night only matza.
Shiko Haliat Anu Oklin Irakot Halia Hazemaro. Sorry.
On all other nights, we eat many vegetables. On this night, only Mara.
Shekol Haliot Eun Anu Matbilan Afilo Payam Echat Halia Hase Shete Famain.
On all other nights, we don't dip even one, but on this night, we dip twice.
Shiko Haliot Anu Akmin Vain Yoshvin Ivain Mashubin Halia Halsei Kule Kulanu Musubin.
On all other nights, we eat either sitting up or reclining, but on this night, we all recline.
Okay. No, cover the matzah. We're going to offer this up. We toast our endurance as a people. Throughout the ages we have endured, for not only has one risen against us to annihilate us, but in every generation they rise against us to annihilate us. But Adonai, the Holy One, is blessed and rescues us from their hand. And he's rescued us through Yeshua HaMashiach. Okay. Alright, so you put this down. Okay. So, we already read about the, this is when you read the story about Exodus. We already read that at the beginning because we wanted to open this up with the story so you would understand what it was that the Lord was decreeing to the people and how he wanted them to do the Seder, how he wanted them to honor him during the Passover Seder. So I want to sing, not sing Diana, but say it. I think it's Dainu. This is okay. So we went through the plagues, and that's all right, Jeff. You want to read? We can go back and forth with the stanzas. So as a way of giving praise to God and showing appreciation for all the blessings given to us, we recite Dainu. It would have been enough, and we are grateful. After each line is read, everyone present proclaims Dainu after these lines. Okay, Jeff.
Right here.
On page 20.
God brought us out of Egypt, but not executed judgment against the Egyptians. It would have been enough.
Dainu. Had God executed judgments against them, but not upon their gods, with a little g, it would have been enough. Dainu. We both say Dainu, Jeff.
Dainu.
You do.
God executed judgments against their gods, but not slain their firstborn, it would have been enough.
Dainu. Had God slain their firstborn but not given us their wealth, it would have been enough. Dainu.
Had God given us their wealth but not split the sea for us, it would have been enough.
Dainu. Had God split the sea for us but not led us through it on dry land, it would have been enough. Dainu.
Had God led us through it on dry land, but not drowned our oppressors in it, it would have been enough.
Dainu. Had God drowned our oppressors in it, but not provided for our needs in the desert for 40 years, it would have been enough. Dainu.
Had God provided for our needs in the desert for 40 years, but not fed us the manna, it would have been enough.
Dainu. Had God fed us the manna, but not given us a Sabbath, it would have been enough. Dainu.
Had God given us the Sabbath, but not brought us to Mount Sinai, it would have been enough.
Dainu. Had God brought us to Mount Sinai, but not given us the Torah, it would have been enough. Dainu.
Had God given us the Torah, but not brought us into the land of Israel, it would have been enough.
Dainu. Thank you, God, for all the favors you have bestowed upon us. You led us out of Egypt's slavery and oppression. You brought the plagues against the Egyptians, slew their firstborn, and brought us their wealth. You split open the Red Sea, then drowned our oppressors. Thank you for taking care of us in the desert for 40 years. You fed us manna, you gave us the Sabbath, then brought us to Mount Sinai to give us the Torah and your commandments. Thank you, O God, for bringing us to the land of Israel, making us a great nation. Dainu. We join together. Okay, so the mantra are covered. We raise the glass of wine and recite the following. All right, so get the mantra, the covered mantra. Okay, here we go. And Jeff, and the glass of wine. Here we go. And, all right. We join together to glorify and bless God for bringing us out of slavery and bondage, for granting us our freedom, and for turning our sorrow into joy. We give thanks to God for helping us reach this night so that we may carry out the rituals of the Seder, eating the offerings and symbolic sacrifices for singing praise for our redemption and freedom. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Borei Pari Hakafen.
Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, creator of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine.
Okay, so we drink the... We're going to drink our wine. You take your over there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The symbol of the Passover. One of the Judaism's greatest scholars, you probably heard of him, Rabbi Gamliel, decreed that the Seder is not complete unless we explain the meaning of the three main symbols of Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. This stone represents the Mariam, a god that convinced the Egyptians to free the slaves. It also represents the Paschal lamb that was used as a special sacrifice in the days of the ancient temple in Jerusalem. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Hamatzi Lechem Min Haaretz.
Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, creator of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Kidshenu B'mar Mitzvotav Vitsi Banyu El Akilat Matzah.
Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, creator of the universe, who makes us holy with your commandments and has instructed us in the eating of matzah.
Okay, so now you can take a piece. Take a piece of top part. Okay. Okay, so hopefully everybody else is having their matzah there. You now take this matzah, for not only it is commanded in the Torah by God, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, but this matzah also symbolizes the unleavened bread our ancestors ate while in the desert and in their great haste while fleeing Egypt. Because they did not have time to allow the dough to rise, they were forced to bake their dough before it leaven and eat it in the form of hard black crackers, which we now call matzah. Okay, so you know matzah, huh? Okay, we're gonna bless the bitter. You know, as a meal later on. Okay, so I have this right here, and it has bitter herb inside of it. Okay. Each participant takes a small spoonful of mara and haratzet. The mara symbolizes the bitter life of slavery, while haratzet represents the mortar used by the slaves to build the pharaoh cities. Recite the following blessings and eat them together. Okay, that's the other one. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Kidshenu B'mitzvotav Vitsi Banu El Ah.
Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, creator of the universe, who makes us holy with your mitzvot, and has commanded us concerning the eating of Maror.
Amen. Okay, this is Hillel's sandwich. It is written in the Torah, they shall eat it, the Passover sacrifice, or the Paschal lamb, with matzah and bitter herbs. Rabbi Hillel, a revered scholar who lived while the temple still stood, used to combine the Passover offerings of the Paschal lamb, matzah, and maror, and eat them together in a sandwich, since we no longer have a Paschal lamb at our Seder table. Because Jesus is at our Seder table, he is resurrected, he's in the right hand of the Father, and he sent us his Holy Spirit to Ruach, to lead us into all truth, and to begin to establish the church and to lead us into all truth. So we do have the lamb with us, who is occupying the at the right hand of the Father, he's occupying the throne. Since we no longer have a Paschal lamb, we now use matzah Marwa and Haratzet to make the sandwich.
Right.
So it's Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Pori Hagafen.
Blessed are you, Adonai, as our creator of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine.
Yep, that's right. Okay, the cup of Elijah shall be filled at this time. Okay, someday the prophet Elijah will return to earth to lead the way for an age of peace. He also will return with Yeshua. On the mountain of transfiguration, when Jesus brought Peter, who was up there, Jeff? What was it, Peter, John, and the other disciples up to transfiguration? The mountain?
Peter,
James, and John. And all of a sudden, their glory came from heaven, and what appeared was Moses and Elijah, and who else?
And Jesus.
Yeah, and the glory was all around, and that was when Peter wanted to build a booth, a tabernacle, for all of them, and the Lord rebuked him. But anyways, Jesus, they're coming back for Jesus, so it's not just Elisha coming, it's going to be Jesus, the King of Peace, coming back in, with the spirit of Elijah and Elijah the prophet. Okay, so according to Jewish belief, their first coming will be our second coming. All right. Amen. Someone opened the door as so we realized the door is open. We kept our door open for Elijah to come in. Enter Elijah the prophet. May you come soon and issue in a great age of peace. So they're waiting for Elijah to come to proceed to come in the fire. Amen. So, we close the front door. Amen. All right. So the fourth cup of wine. Do we drink that wine or just wait for?
That's Elijah's
wine. Oh, that's Elijah's? Okay. Mm. Okay. So now, I don't want to. I can't put it in there. Oh. That's Elijah's wine. That's Elijah's. We're not really drinking wine. This is actually technically contained grape juice. Are we having fun yet?
Yes, we are, Jeff.
We're on 26. Okay. Ready?
Yes.
Okay. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Pori Hagafen.
Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, creator of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine.
Okay, complete the fourth cup. It says, drink the fourth cup of wine while reclining and leaning to the left side. And it's funny how Jesus is on the right hand of the Father, but on earth we're all having to lean to the left side. Okay. So, this last page says right here, it is traditional in many families to serve hard-boiled eggs dipped in salt water at this time as a symbol of spring and the beginning of new life. As with many of the symbols used for the Seder, the egg has another meaning. It reminds us of the Jewish midwives who showed bravery in refusing to follow the Pharaoh's demand that every baby boy born to an Israelite woman shall be drowned in the river. This brave action ensured the survival of the Jewish nation. At the conclusion of the meal, the afikomen, which means dessert, is found by the leader of the Seder, often by buying hints from the children who hid it, and it is now distributed among all participants to be eaten. This dessert represents the sweetness of freedom to be enjoyed for the rest of the evening. An alternate modern tradition is to have someone hide the afikomen and have the children find it. A monetary reward is generally given. The amount is negotiable. All Jews are invited to one day return to the promised land of Israel and celebrate Passover as our ancestors did. It is the desire and hope of many Jews to someday make that journey and make Seder in Jerusalem. It is in that spirit that we all present together say, Lashana Hava Yerushalayim, next year in Jerusalem, and now the Passover feast begins. So, this is us, you know, we go and eat, and that's it, you see? But now, all right, before we leave, before we go, all right, now we want to offer up what Jesus did for us, okay, as he transitioned from the Passover meal of Moses to the marriage feast of the Lamb that we will all enjoy here and until he returns. And then we have one big feast, all the nations. And that includes the Jewish people. So I just want to just, even before then, I want to just go to this book here. This is another one, another book that maybe everybody should get, Christ and the Passover by Moshe Rosen. And this, you know, this is a chronological look at the Passion Week, Saturday and Sunday. Tells what you know what happened and what Jesus did and, each day until his passion, okay. And we've already come out of that, but I will, you know, just post it. All right. Actually, I want to just read it right now, and then we'll go into communion. And we're gonna, you know, if you made your Passover meal, we want you to enjoy it. You know one thing we didn't do? We didn't light the Paschal candle. And I should have done that. Right? But my husband wasn't paying attention. So, you know, and I should have done that. You know, the light. I should have lit the light. So what we do at the beginning of this is we... Do you want to do that? At the beginning of this, Jeffrey,
yes.
We just... we took it out of context, but if you must... You know, do this, we have to do it right.
Yes.
Okay, it says, a woman from each table lights a candle. So the leader says, the Passover begins as the woman of each household kindles the festival light and recites traditional Jewish blessings. We have adapted the blessing to reflect our outside. So, Jeff, I'm going to just make sure that I light it. You know, and of course, okay, so I lit it. Okay, that's the candle. And Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kishanu BeYeshua HaMashiach Or Olam, the light of the world. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us in Jesus, the Messiah, the light of the world. And that's the beginning. Okay, that's the beginning of and well, what we'll do is we'll use that and go into communion. All right, so that's what we'll do, okay? And, you know, we just want to just remember Jesus as he comes into the kingdom on our behalf. Okay, so on Passion Week, the Passover Lamb, Jesus, right, drew near to Jerusalem, arriving at Bethany 6 days before Passover, which was the Saturday before the Passion. Jesus was anointed at Simon the leper's house. On Sunday, there was a great crowd that came to Bethany to see Jesus. Monday. The next day was Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, followed by his visit to the temple and his return to Bethany. It was Nisan 10 when the Passover lambs were selected. Likewise, the triumphal entry was the day when Christ presented himself as Israel's Paschal Lamb. Tuesday. On the way from Bethany to Jerusalem, Jesus cursed the fig tree and he cleansed the temple in Jerusalem. Some religious leaders began to plot ways to kill him. That evening, Jesus left Jerusalem and presumably returned into Bethany. On the way to Jerusalem, the disciples saw the withered fig tree. At the temple in Jerusalem, Jesus' authority and wisdom was questioned by some religious leaders. That afternoon, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives and delivered the Olivet to his court. Two additional things occurred on that day. One, Jesus predicted that in 2 days he would be crucified at the time of the Passover. And two, Jesus planned a betrayal of Christ with some... Judas planned the betrayal of Christ with some religious leaders. Thursday, Jesus and his disciples prepared the Passover lamb. And they had their Passover meal in the upper room. Jesus shared powerful truth with his disciples and offered an intercessory prayer on their behalf. They arrived at the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus suffered in agony, waiting what was to come. Later that night, Jesus was betrayed and arrested. He was tried first by Annas and later by Caiaphas, and other religious leaders Friday. Early in the morning, Jesus was tried by the Sanhedrin, Pilate, Herod, Antipas, and Pilate again. He was led to the cross and crucified at 9 a.m. and died at the hour of divine mercy at 3 p.m. and was buried later that day. Christ, the Paschal Lamb, 1 Corinthians 5:7, died at the time when the Israelites were sacrificing their Passover lamb. Saturday, which we're about ready to go into, Jesus' body was in the tomb during the Sabbath, and the Pharisees hired Roman guards to keep watch of the tomb. Sunday, Christ was resurrected from the dead. His was the first of many resurrections to come, in which it was a type of first fruits. First fruits offerings were made by Jews on the day after the Sabbath. Okay, and so here we are. We're going to offer the body and blood of Jesus. Here we are. We come to the fulfillment in the fullness of time. All right? Fullness of faith in the fullness of time. And, really, you get a sense as to the richness of what Jesus did and how he prophetically became the Passover. That's a lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. All right, here we go.
Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. And those who eat my flesh and drink my blood remain in me, and I am them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father. So also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever.
Will live forever.
Live forever.
Live forever.
That's
how it spells. Live forever. Okay. Amen. Amen. Our Father who are in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory of the world, now and forever. Amen. This is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. Jeff, you see the body? He is Lord, he is Lord, he is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's our Lord. He's our Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he's our Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God bless you.
His teeth were glistening gold, and I saw the sunset behind him. And as I gazed into his eyes, I heard, I love you. I'm so glad you're here. And he was being playful. And he got holier and holier and holier and holier. Oh, how I'd like to have that experience again, Lord. Oh, I can't wait to see your face. Take me to the Holy of Holies. Take me to the Holy of Holies. I want to see you. Take me where I can see your thank you.
together in eternity. Sweet.